Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
This is kind of a pretty serious topic that we're going to look at today. And the news cycle, for those of you who are news hawks, has been so good to me for today's message. Today we're talking about the Ten Commandments and how when we violate one of the Ten Commandments, we invite stress in our lives. Now let me remind you once again, because some people, you ask the random person on the street, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or how do I get to heaven? And they say something like this, be a good person and obey the Ten Commandments. And so when they do that, go, ah. No, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. You can't be good enough. Okay, period. We don't make ourselves good by doing good deeds. Christ changes us from the inside out. And so the Ten Commandments are a gift from God to mankind so that we can have healthy relationships with one another. The first four commands have to deal with our relationship with God and how we keep the priority correct. And when we violate any one of the Ten Commandments, we invite stress and tension into our own life. That's why we call the series Tension. Ten for the Ten Commandments. And when we violate one, we're adding to our own dismay. You know you can make your own trouble. Anybody know that? Have you ever made your own trouble? Yeah. From time to time, we make our own trouble. So that's why we've been kind of going through this. Now, the news cycle, again, has set up today's message very well, because the past few weeks, we have seen more and more instances of public figures, whether they be politicians or movie stars or whoever, who say one thing and then they just swear, even under oath, that I'm making this statement, and then it comes out a little bit later that they did the exact opposite. We see one after another of these events. We've seen leaders be proven to have lied under oath. We have revelations of other countries pressing myth-truths on social media. And people can't wait to eat this stuff up. My question is, why do we love lies so much and resist the truth so much? You know, if you hear three truths and one lie, boy, you like the lie. And that's the one we have a tendency to talk about all the time. So we're going to begin to talk about that today. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You shall not, let's all read this together. It'd be good for us. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now we ask somebody, what are the Ten Commandments? They're going to say, okay, you know, have no other gods, don't have any idols, remember the Sabbath, don't murder. But for this one, we usually don't say it like that. We kind of boil it down to a simple phrase, which is, you should not lie. And I'm not saying that that's incorrect. I'm saying that that's incomplete. When we say, thou shalt not lie, correct. We should not lie. But the command, as we're going to talk about today in our discussion, is a little bit bigger. It's a little bit wider area that it's encompassing in our lives. So when we begin our journey today, I want you to think about something. Few things bring stress to your life like lying. Because once you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another lie. And once you tell that lie, you're going to have to tell another to cover until finally you come clean, right? It's how it is. And we've all been through that. We've all been through that area where we say that one thing. And the problem with lying is few things destroy society and destroy relationships. Everybody say relationships. Like lying. Few things cut to the core. Now, as we begin to move forward, look at this commandment. It says, you shall not bear false witness. Think of the words, bear false witness. When we say the word witness, what does it make you think of? Court. Because, you know, bearing false witness, it kind of feels like a legal term, doesn't it? It's this legal sounding term. And so when we're talking about a witness on a stand, trying to swear that when they come up, they put their hands, or at least they used to, put their hand on a Bible and they say, I swear to... Everybody's like really nervous. I'm not going to swear that. I don't have no... Yeah, it's I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That used to be the way they do it. I know some places that's a struggle at this moment. But that you swear that what you're about to say is true. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, back in biblical times, as this was written, in Jewish societies, witnessing was tremendous. Bearing witness was a very important part of their society because it wasn't like today. Today, if you see something wrong, what do? You get out your phone and you video it. And you post it on Snapchat. And you post it on Instagram. And you post it on everything. You know, there was a story last week how they came out and a guy was getting mugged. And nobody did anything. There's 40 people around with their cell phones filming it. He got beaten to a pulp. Nobody did anything except post it. Look, I'm trending. Hashtag holy cow. Serious. What have we done? Now, back in biblical times, of course, they didn't have cell phones. Shock, shock. They didn't. How did they know? How did they understand? There wasn't security cameras everywhere. There weren't. We didn't have this constant information barrage where everyone knew everything going on. It was based on eyewitness accounts. And Jewish law took very, very seriously telling the truth. Because if you were to give a witness, give account of what happened, and it was wrong, you were held liable. In fact, in a capital case, if someone was, they were presenting evidence in a capital crime, such as someone committed murder, guess who threw the first stone? Those who were the eyewitnesses. They're the ones who were to cast the first stone. It actually gives a little more understanding as Jesus, you know, the woman taken in the very act of adultery. So there's something to this. And in fact, if it later came out that they were wrong, they were put to death. So this is a very important concept for us. So when we look at this legal sounding phrase as to have bearing witness, we're talking about perjury. And perjury. Perjury means to lying or omitting the truth. In fact, the very definition of perjury says the voluntary violation of an oath or vow by swearing to what is untrue, or, here's the big part, or by omission to do what has been promised under oath. So perjury, that's why we say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's this concept, because, you know, you have the sins of commission and you have the sins of omission, to omit the truth. So now I'm beginning to break down this concept of bearing false witness. There's a little more weighty than just the thou shalt not, but now we have the concept of what you shall do, that we should be about truth. So don't say what is untrue is definitely part of not bearing, thou shalt not bear false witness, excuse me, but also to do say what is true. And I'd like to add, please say what is true in love. We have that concept. Truth is foundational in a healthy society. If you do not have truth and honesty, a society will collapse. Without truth, a society will begin to implode. We're starting to see that. We are starting to see it. Because now we have the concept of relative truth. You can have your truth, but I have my truth. What you say is true? Okay, I get it. But ultimately, what God says is true, period, end of discussion. So when we try to hold our truth contrary to God's, we have a big problem. Because truth comes from God. It is not a relative term. So moving forward, a couple thoughts for you today that I believe will help us. Because I'm convinced, I don't believe anyone's going to go out of here and murder somebody. I hope. The fact that no one just said amen, I'm a little scared. Yikes. Are you a bunch of murderous people? No, I don't think you're going to go out and murder somebody. I hope you're not going to go out and build an idol. I know that we got a little more in depth in our series about that. And I hope that you're not going to go out and steal something. I know that it's probably a temptation, but don't do it. But here's the one I think that we're all really kind of guilty of is not handling the truth well, is bearing false witness. This is the one that really troubles me the most, because as a society, it doesn't seem that important anymore. Our leaders lie and we laugh about it. We don't think it's that big of a deal. We catch people in bold-faced lies and we just, that's just what they do. That's what they do. How do you get elected? You lie. You know, we make it as a joke. It shouldn't be funny. It's very serious. Because once trust is violated, it's a very difficult task to rebuild. Point number one, God takes lying seriously. God takes lying seriously. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. So we understand a few things about God's character. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? God doesn't lie. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. Okay? In fact, God's word is true. Jesus, in his prayer, sanctify them by your truth, for your word is true. God is true. He's not just truthful. He is truth. God cannot and does not lie. And that's the great reason that we can trust him. He's never made a promise and not come good on, not come, and not honored it. So where in the world does lying come from? Where does lying come from? John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is confronting some of these individuals around, these religious folks, and he says this to them. You are of your father, the who? For your will is to do your father's desire. And here's what it is. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, speaking of the devil, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar. And those last three words, and the? He's the what? Where do lies come from? They come from Satan. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, it begins there. The serpent came and immediately began by testing the truth and then by stretching the truth and then by bold-faced contradiction. You know what? That's how our lies do. They start small and they get a little bigger and then they get a little bigger and then we're really forced to either come clean or else just bold-faced lie. So God takes lying very seriously. We see where the origin of lying comes from. It's not from God. It comes from the devil. And much like last week with stealing, I think that a lot of us have grown quite callous to, we don't want to say lying. We want to say, oh, well, we're just not fully truthful. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 through 15 should let us know a little more about how seriously God takes lying. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. They're talking about this New Jerusalem, this heavenly city. It says outside. So these are the ones outside of the heavenly city, outside of fellowship in the community of God. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, and the murderers and the idolaters. That's a kind of a nasty little list right there. And then we're going to add the next one. Oh, all your dog people are like, no, Fido's outside. Okay, no. He's talking about something different. It's a reference to those outside of faith. And everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I'm not a liar. I just kind of practice falsehood. That's a little more PC, right? The deal is this. Look, this is not in the kingdom of God. These are people not of partaking fully of God's covenant, the wonderful rewards. God takes lying seriously. Do we all have that point? Do you want me to go to the next one? Okay, next point. Point two. Little lies are still lies. Have you heard of the little thing? Oh, it's just a little white lie. How many of you have ever heard a little white lie? It's just a little white lie. Just a little one. Well, wait a minute. What? So is it okay to maybe not lie, but just tell a little white, just practicing a small falsehood as long as it doesn't hurt somebody's feelings. Does this dress make me look fat? I love your eyes. Yeah. This. My wife no longer asks my opinion on any outfit ever, because I was convicted on this early on that I'm sometimes not good husband, and that I just don't lie. I'm just like, well, this is my, if you're asking my opinion, I preface it with this. I preface it with, if you're asking my opinion, here's my opinion. So she doesn't ask me anymore. So it's true. And she's beautiful, and she's always got a hookup, and so I'm yay blessed, yay my wife. Okay. So bottom line is this. Is it okay to say a widow white why? Whip, weech, and summon. Yeah, okay. Looking for the point. Is it okay? You know, is it okay to withhold the truth if the truth hurts? Now, society is going to tell you, by all means, yes. Sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you the opposite. No. I can find no time where we say to validate lying. And I'm not saying that it's not common. I'm not saying that it is not an adopted practice in our society. I am saying that according to God's word, it is not okay. There's no time where we justify our intentional false witness. God doesn't justify lying, okay? And that's the truth. And I know most of us, how many of you in this room today have at some time in your life have lied? Okay, good. So we're all in good company here. Bunch of liars. I mean, people who don't handle the truth always totally ethically. Yeah. God doesn't justify. And all lies. Now, I will grant you this, because some people say, well, you know, little white lies are okay because they don't have a big impact. Here's my point. Yes, they do have a big impact, because every time you choose to lie, you choose to willingly resist the Holy Spirit. And just like our message last week, when you begin to callous your heart, eventually you won't hear Him. People who I know who struggle with the truth the most didn't set out to say, I'm going to be a liar. They started off sometimes to keep people's feelings and sometimes to protect their own pride, their own ego, and all of a sudden, as we go further and further down the journey, we resist the Holy Spirit, and just like that hum of the fans, which I don't hear now because my hearing's gone. Just like the hum of the air conditioner, the heater, whatever. It is white noise. It has become background noise. It has become something that we no longer focus in upon. I'm begging us to look a little deeper. Boy, I'm sitting in my own living room. I'm looking at myself. Don't think, oh, he's telling us that he's so perfect. No, I'm not. I got to get my house in order in a lot of things, because the next one is this. Proverbs 12:22 says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Psalm 51:6, David, who, by the way, was a liar. King David lied. He lied. He practiced deception. The whole sin with Bathsheba was wrought with all kinds of lies and deceptions, trying to present himself off as something that he wasn't, and trying to present other people off as something that they were not. And he could fool everybody, but he couldn't fool himself, and he couldn't fool God. Psalm 51 gives us a pretty good idea of what David was doing, wrestling this with God. He said, behold, you delight, actually, like King James, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. But the ESV says, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret place. Guys, I get it. We live in a society that wants to bend the truth and stretch the truth and say that we all can have our own concepts of truth. That one, and as we journey down that path, there's one thing that I can guarantee you we will do. We will harden our heart to the Holy Spirit. We will harden our hearts to God. And eventually, we're not going to be in the place to discern when He's giving us wisdom and direction. People all the time, oh, I just can't hear God. I can't hear God. Well, most of the time, you've calloused your hearts by lying. You've calloused your hearts by stealing, which we go through all of these Ten Commandment pieces. It happens. Here's one man I struggle with. I'm going to tell you, I struggle with this one. Exaggeration. I've told you this a million times. Yeah. Yeah. You got it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Board. Yeah. Exaggeration. Well, exaggeration's not lying. Yeah. Exaggeration is deception, is untruth, is a lie. Well, fishing stories aren't going to be much fun now, are they? Preface it. How about this? Preface it with, I'm exaggerating. You're going to have to do that. Or better yet, don't lie! How about that? Yeah. Boy, Pastor, you're not fun today. Yeah, this is why I've been grouchy all day. I've been trying to deal with this. Because the bottom line, it's serious. Now, why is this serious? You know, which comes down to the big question. Why do we lie? Why on earth do we lie? I was talking with somebody after church. They're like, you know what? I've recognized why I lie. I lie sometimes because I'm afraid people don't think I'm good enough. So I have to stretch some things so that way they'll accept me. Well, then guess what? They're not really accepting you. They're accepting the lie that you propagate. We lie because we're proud. I don't want to be honest. Well, at some point, we're going to have to come clean. I'm just telling you, you start down that journey. And your heart begins to get callous, begins to get hard. Is everybody mad at me today? Or are you like, ouch, I'm just dealing. What are you? You mad or are you dealing? How many of you are dealing? Raise your hand if you're dealing. How many of you are mad? Raise your hand. Okay. That's all right. I guarantee for all of you, I'm in the same place. You know what? I'm mad at myself. And I'm dealing with God's truth. And, you know, the truth will set you free, but sometimes it'll tick you off first. Sometimes it'll do that. All right, let's go to the next one. Third point today. And then I have a fourth point. Ha ha! I lied about my sermon. No, I didn't. This is all part of that. This is where I wanted to land the plane. Because, okay, so as I was wrestling through the Ten Commandments and trying to say, where do we go? And why in the world didn't God, when God was talking to Moses and he's writing these down, why didn't he just say, thou shalt not lie? Why didn't he just say, thou shalt not lie? Why did he say, thou shalt not bear false witness? And in my prayer time, this is where it hurt. Because in my prayer time, the false witness that I think I do sometimes is presenting an inaccurate picture of what it means to be a Christ follower. When I deceive, when I put on my church face, when I try, you know what church face is. You're pulling into the car lot. You be quiet, your ass. Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody here today. It's so nice to see you. Saturday night, sleeping one off and rolling into church Sunday morning. Praise God. Yeah. People don't necessarily look for a perfect person to follow. But I guarantee you, I look for an honest person to follow. As I look back and I reflect, thankfully, that I'm not a perfect human being. And I'm very grateful that God has afforded me the ability to try to minister to people. And I do it in an imperfect way. And I got more shortcomings than I could begin to tell everyone. But I do understand this. When we bear a false witness, when we present that this is what it means to be a Christian incorrectly, I think we're bearing false witness. I think we're presenting something different. When we try to say, oh, you have to have all your stuff together to follow Christ. Have you looked at the disciples? Have you read the New Testament? I mean, good heavens. We're writing these letters to the church about people struggling with their iniquities, their transgressions, and their trespasses. They're a bunch of imperfect people, but what God can do when we are honest is begin to transform our hearts from the inside out. What does it mean? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, self-righteousness, pride. When we have these areas, these things, we are not presenting what it really means to be a Christian. A Christian doesn't walk in here and act all holy Sunday and then live like hell Monday through Friday. Right? Das is bearing a false witness. that is not being honest. And so, you know, those of you who have known me for a long time, I would much rather, you know, I walk into places, sometimes I'll walk into to areas and people will be carrying on and like, oh, hide the beer, the preacher's here. Or, oh, we can't talk like that because the preacher's around. Or, oh, we have to stop. And I always say this, those of you who know me, I say this, be yourself. And then, how about even one better? Be who God called you to be. Be honest, because without truth, we have nothing. God didn't come for facade. He came to bring life transition and change and relationship to all of us. If anybody's offended anything that I've shared, please, let's come talk. I would love to reason with you. But I would much rather be base and honest with somebody than to try to pretend that they're not where they are at and that I'm not where I am at. Amen? Okay. Hypocrisy. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. But if we are living a life of compromise and then somehow acting like we're not, good heavens, that's not good that we're propagating that lie. We're not honest. And here's the trouble. Matthew 18, Jesus clearly gives warnings about causing another one to stumble. He says, better have a millstone tied around your neck. And I got to look. Is my life giving a true and accurate depiction of what it means to follow Christ, to strive after Christ? Or am I pretending? Is this a game or a social club? Ephesians chapter 4, by the way, this was written to the church. And these are Paul's words to the church, 4:25. Therefore, putting away falsehood. Why would he say put away falsehood unless they were lying? Okay? This is not an excuse. It's saying, look, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So if you're like me, you're saying, wow, you know, this started off with, yeah, I'm not a thief, I'm not a liar, and now all of a sudden we've reasoned this out, and well, I'm kind of not feeling very comfortable. In fact, I'm feeling some conviction of the Holy Spirit. What do I do with this? Here's three quick steps, and this is not point four, it's point 3B. So, a couple steps for embracing honesty. Step number one is be honest with yourself. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Admit that you're struggling in this area. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I have a problem misrepresenting the truth. I have a problem exaggerating. I have a problem stretching it out. I have a problem, and I know it, and sometimes I pass it off because I'm one of the guys, but look, I am being honest with myself. I want to be an honest person. And I don't think anybody sitting in this room is going to look in the mirror and say, I really like to pull the wool over everyone's eyes. I don't think we sit there and we aspire to be dishonest and people of little integrity. I think we all aspire to be honest individuals. So you got to start with honesty with yourself. Second thing is then you got to be real honest with God. And that means prayerfully repenting and asking God for help. And then being willing to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So when that little whisper says, hey, you going to do that little, no, I'm just going to be honest. Catch it quickly. Now I get that this probably isn't the most popular message, but you know what? I feel that this is one of the most applicable to quick life change. Because I believe we all struggle with this, and I believe that we all can change and embrace honesty. You with me?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.